Well, who's excited to be here in this place? Is this great? This is awesome. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I am so excited by the words and the pictures that we've received. I'm really excited to have Tom and Annette here this morning. Just feels good to have the founding pastor of the church here this morning. Amen. But it's just awesome, and I'm really grateful. I'm going to get Tom up again just to bless us before we go. But isn't this amazing? This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, and I'm saying to the Lord before, I said, Lord, what are you doing here? And it was almost like he said, are you thick or something? You know, it didn't quite. But I felt, you know, so what a stupid question to ask. It's obvious what he's saying to us. There is fire falling upon us.
Yes.
And I'll get into the word in a minute, because Tom just shared it was a word that was given to him on the day. Did you share that scripture this morning?
Yeah.
I know, I've heard it that often. He did. All right. And it just is amazing. It's amazing. So who's ready for some fire?
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Put your hands up. Who's seriously ready for some fire? Wow, wow, wow. Look at this. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. In Daniel, it talks about, I just feel to share on this. In Daniel, I was preaching on the river. I love talking about the river. I could preach on the river all day, all night, and never get off it. But there's an interesting picture in the book of Daniel. I'm not sure off the top of my head. I think it's Daniel 7, but don't quote me on that. It says that from God's throne, there is also another river, and it's a river of fire. And I like that. And I think that it sounds funny that there's a river of water coming from his throne room, and there's a river of fire coming from his throne. How can the two come together? One kind of seems to, you know, water seems to wash that one away, but this is God, you know, who gives a rip? And, you know, in Costa's picture, there was that lovely picture of the fire. And he said, I don't know if he said this morning when he was sharing with her, he said the fire, you could see everything. It wasn't burning stuff up, but the fire was burning, like the burning bush. You know the story of the burning bush? And the bush wasn't being consumed. What did that represent? What did that represent? He had to flick his shoes off because he was on holy ground. Anyway, it's the presence of God. You know, it's fire. It was the presence of, but a fire sets things alight. A fire, when you get filled with the presence of God, it feels like fire. But it's his burning love. Fire purifies, fire renews, fire gets rid of all the garbage. You know, if you want to get, you just have a bonfire, burn it all up. But it sets us up like flames that burn. You know, it talked about the Salvation Army when they had, I think one of their things was unquenchable fire. Is that right? With the Sally Army, there was some organization that had that unquenchable fire was one of their motto things, among other things. I like that picture. Unquenchable fire burning in us. All the stuff we don't want in our lives, and maybe things that we do want that probably ought not be there, will get burnt up in that presence of the Lord. And all the eternal things that are of huge value that heaven holds for us, which are ours because of the blood of Jesus. Remember I said, I don't know when it was that I was talking about, that we inherit everything. Everything that is the Lord's, everything that is Jesus is ours because we're in him. His presence, the kingdom is ours. Everything that you can imagine the kingdom to be, that is ours because we're in Christ, because of Jesus. So the fire releases us to walk in that, and the fire sets us ablaze. Anyway, we'll get onto that in a minute. There's a scripture that was given to me when I first started when I felt the call and began, and I stopped doing pharmacy and took up this ministry with an outreach and mission organization way back in 1999, and a few years ago. I won't, you know, see how old I am, but it was quite a while ago. But the scripture was prophesied over me, and I've kind of held it. Way back then, I didn't know what to do with prophecies. I didn't know what to do with scriptures. I thought, oh, yeah, that's nice, great. You know, I will remember that. But I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't know how. I didn't know what I knew now. And frankly, to be honest, I've only learnt this in the last 5, 6, 7 years. I've heard people talk about it, but no one ever showed me how. But anyway, we won't get onto that because that's not important. But the scripture is absolutely vital for us. And what's been exciting to me is in the last 10, 15 years is that text has been bubbling up to the surface. It's been declared, it's been spoken of, it's been reiterated, it's just everywhere. And so I'm really passionate about it, man. I'm excited about this verse. I'm excited about what it teaches us, what it tells us about what God is doing and what he's saying to us here and now, because I believe it is a here and now scripture. Did you manage to get that? Oh, look, we've just got amazing people over in that section, in the technical section. Come on. It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. There you go. All right. Now, look, we've got it. I'd like us to say this together as a declaration before I start. It's a declaration. All right, let's say this together. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Oh, does that give you goosebumps? Oh, some are. Praise the Lord. It is such a good verse. It is such a good word. Now, I haven't got thing to put my thing on. Anyway, arise and shine, for your light has come. Our light has come. We know this. You know, I probably don't have to go, but the context of that scripture is very interesting. Just at the end of Isaiah 59, there's that famous passage where it says, the Lord looks around to see if there would be anyone who will stand for him. And we all make, and people grab that text and they say, this is the great, this is how I have heard it taught. This is the call for intercession. There's no one in the gap. We must stand in the gap and we must intercede. And that's probably true. We probably do that. But what that scripture says straight after there is that says the Lord, seeing no one there to do it for him, exercised the salvation himself. You see, God provided the answer to that thing he was looking for. There's no one to do this for me. Where can I go? It's a mess. I will extend my own arm and bring salvation myself. Yes. Hallelujah. Aren't we glad? And then it goes on with other things. And the great thing about the Old Testament prophecies, which were mainly to do with Israel and the end times, mainly to do with Israel. The cool thing is Jesus kind of changed things a bit or added more revelation on it. And if we jump to Isaiah 61, we won't worry about looking at it. you'll all know it. It's that passage in Luke 5 where Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, he missed out that last bit that's in Isaiah. So there were bits there that Jesus said, and he said to them, this is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, now this passage of scripture is being fulfilled right now in front of your eyes. Of course, they freak. Some of them didn't know. But it was true. The context of the scripture also is a prophetic statement. It is fulfilled now before our eyes. Arise, shine, for your light has come. What light has come? What does it say about Jesus? He is the light of the world. He has come as the light of life. And the world didn't understand it. The darkness did not understand it. He is the light. I have come as light. And then in Matthew 5, verse 11, I think it says, have I got the right chapter? Verse 11, Jesus says, turns around and says, you are the light of the world. And then, whoa, hold the train, Lord, hold the train. You said you were. No, you are. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Why? Because he is in us. We receive him. Like I said before, everything that the Lord has by virtue of being in Christ becomes ours. His light is in us. It's our light. It's mine. You are the light of the world. You all know this. I mean, this is just going over stuff that we all know. Arise and shine, for your light has come. For your light has come. The interesting word is arise. Interesting word, because it means arise, which implies that maybe we're not risen. This is probably the wrong kind of congregation to give this illustration, but because I've got some teenage boys, we have watched the movies. High School Musical. Who's seen High School Musical? Put your hands right up so I can see. Not too many. Oh, I didn't think there'd be a lot. But we enjoyed, we enjoyed 1 and 3. Number 2 was but anyway. I mean, it's very American. It was a very, very popular movies. But there's this one, and just for those of you who don't know, it's about these high school kids, and there's a love affair, da-da-da-da-da, all this kind of stuff. They're good movies, mostly. And, you know, there's no smut and there's no violence and anything like that. They were on the whole pretty good. And the main guy is this guy who's the captain of the, of course he's the captain, you know, they were American movies, which all seem to be like that. But never mind, that's cool, that's good, nothing wrong with that. And he's the captain of the basketball team. And the Wildcats. Okay, he's the key player. And anyway, in this number 3, the Wildcats are playing in the state championship for the basketball. And they are getting caned. They're getting thrashed. So halftime, the boys have walked into the thing, you know, and their shoulders are slumped. And their heads are down, sitting in the chair like this. And the coach comes in and he looks at them. And you can... And I still see... He acted it so well. Because you could see the compassion in his eyes and his heart feeling for his boys who were defeated, who felt down. And he thought, it's not good. You know, what am I going to say? And that you could tell in his heart he wasn't going to go in there. Come on, pull yourself together, you guys. He could feel, he could think, I've got to say something that's going to lift him up. So he walked in, he said, forget the score. I don't care about the score. I don't care what's going to, you know, I don't forget it. Forget the score. What I want you to remind you of is that this is the end of school. In a few weeks' time, your high school days will be finished. And you boys have been together as a team for the last few years. And this is your last 20 minutes. I don't know. I can't remember if it was 20 or 15 minutes or whatever it was. This is your last 20 minutes where you play together as a team. I want you in this last 20, because after this, you won't be together as a team anymore. But I want you, by the time this game is finished, to be able to look back at this last 20 minutes and say that was the best 20 minutes that we ever played. That we will look back and we will be able to look at that time and say, we were the Wildcats that did this. This was the best we ever did. This will last in our memory as the greatest piece of basketball that is a team that we ever did. Only 20 minutes, because it all goes. Tomorrow it's finished. Make this last 20 minutes something you will remember for the rest of your lives. Of course, these guys began to stand up and say, yeah, come on, let's do this. You know, the goal then, he ignored the goal. He ignored finishing it. He said, basically, pour your guts out, he didn't say it in those words, and let that be the testimony of who you are. That win or lose, you will look back and say, we did something, we achieved something. No one will forget what we did in those last 20 minutes. Isn't that hot? It stirred me up. I thought, that's a good word, you know. And so the boys got all fired up and everything like that, and they started screaming, and, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, you know. And of course, you know, the story is they went out and won it at the end. Which is great, you know. But I love the story. They were discouraged and they were down. And basically he said to them, stand up, arise. This is your day. This is your time. This 20 minutes is your time to shine. This is what that means. You see, because it goes on and talks about darkness covering the earth. I like the sequence there. See, darkness covers the earth. And then the Lord says, and thick darkness. Now, often in the scriptures, that's simply what they call, I think it's called a dualism, where he talks about something and adds the same thing again. But it builds it. It's darkness and it's thick. You know, we don't need much rocket science here to figure to look around the world around us, and there is darkness covering the nations. You know, what was that thing in Woolwich a couple of weeks ago with those guys with the meat cleaver and stuff? If that's not darkness operating, there is darkness covering the earth. And what it can do to us is we can become discouraged. We can feel defeated and think, well, the world's going down the drain. And it probably is. You know, it's just getting worse everywhere. And if we're not careful, we can be defeated by that. But in the midst of it, the Lord says, arise and shine. Why can we do that? Because he says, your light has come. Don't look at the darkness, look at the light that's in you. The light is not some dinky little wee, my little, what is it? This little light will shine. Whatever, what's that song? This little light is my, I'm good. Not a little light, it's a humongous light that stretches for all eternity. Yeah. That's in us. Yeah. It's not a little light, it's a huge one. But we take our eyes off that. We forget that. Oh, look at the darkness. And it does get scary. I don't want to knock the fact that it can be fearful. It can be terrifying. You know, it's, I get nervous about that. I don't want to have, you know, someone attack me with a meat cleaver. You know what I mean? It gets scary. You talk to our friends from Pakistan. They will tell you what the darkness is like. They will tell you. But the Lord says, arise and shine, because your light has come. It is not an insignificant light. It is not a tiny, pathetic little light. It is the light that shines for all eternity, for which nothing can extinguish. Yeah. There is nothing on the face of the earth that man, devil, or the world can raise up to extinguish that light. It has never worked since Jesus came. It's not working now. Even though martyrs have come, and martyrs have been killed because the devil wants to extinguish that light, it still has not worked. And we're part of a heritage of light shining in the darkness. See, fire has light. This is our day. This is what we're called to. And he not only says that, he says, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Now, that's a bit harder to get your head around. It was for me. But if you look at the where glory is used, particularly in the Old Testament, it was something that was visibly seen. You know, when the Lord came down upon the mountain, the glory of God shone around. And there's I looked at heaps of these scriptures before this message. You remember that one? But anyway, and often in the Old Testament, the glory was spoken of in two things: when His presence was visibly seen, the glory was shone on Moses when he came down. Because the glory, it was God's glory. The presence of God left a mark on him. And God's glory was seen. God's glory was seen in the temple when Solomon dedicated it. The glory filled the place like smoke. And they had to leave. They all had to get out because the glory was so thick. The glory is something that is tangibly seen. The presence, the tangible, manifest presence of God being felt, seen, and experienced by people. That's what the glory is. It's His presence being shone forth or being made evident to see. And His glory rises, continuing, ongoing. It's my English teaching training. Present tense, continuous. Rises upon you. Oh, yeah, but I don't feel that. Well, too bad. Nothing to do with how we feel. Well, I don't feel the light's in me. Well, too bad. I don't mean that flippantly. All I'm trying to say is it's irrelevant how we feel. If we have surrendered our lives to the Lord, the light is in us. And His glory has risen over us. We have His light, this eternal, powerful, unending, eternal light in us. We have the glory of God overshadowing us, whether we feel it or not. The difficulty is that our problem often is, is that the enemy will get us focused not on those things, but on what he is doing. And because we don't walk in that, we walk in what we think the devil's doing, and that affects how we live. Because we've forgotten, oh, hang on, whoa, excuse me, devil, the light's in me, and I have the glory of God over me. You see, that makes you stand up. Oh, no, I just had a miserable time. It's da-da-da. And I'm susceptible as the rest, and especially when you get tired, that's when you're discouraged. That's when it hits you worst. But it doesn't change the truth. And the battle of faith is being able to move from that place of discouragement to get back onto standing on what is true, what is absolutely true. Our light has come, so stand up and be candid. The glory of the Lord rises upon us. He is over us. Don't feel it, can't understand it, doesn't matter. He says it, it's true. He says it's true, and other people will say it. We'll see it. See, darkness covers the world. I won't dwell on the darkness. I'm going to make a quote of a friend of mine, did a great quote later on. The key basically is, don't keep your eyes on it. Take your eyes off it. Look to the light, not to the darkness. Can we go to verse 3? This is the cool bit. This is the cool bit. Now, in the midst of the darkness, with everything seems to be going kaput, everything is just falling apart, da-da-da-da, here is this word that is true today. It's not end times. It's not some fulfillment in the future. It's not, oh, yes, well, brother, we've never seen that, so therefore it must be when Jesus returns. Well, that's a lot of faith, isn't it? Oh, we haven't seen that God, so therefore it must be. So our theology, our understanding of God is based on what I've seen or what I haven't seen. Yeah. That doesn't sound good theology to me. No. Because that ignores what the scripture says. The scripture says the nations will come to your light and kings to your brightness, the brightness of your dawning. It's what it says. Yes. It's either true or it's not. That's a scary thought to consider, isn't it? So where do we stand on this? Well, I don't believe that. Why? Because I have never seen it. Does that make it untrue because I personally have never seen that? No. Just means I've never seen it. I haven't experienced it. Nations will come. Nations, think people groups. The words ethnos means sort of cultural groups, and that can be skin color, it can be language groups, it can be interest groups, because whenever people get together to form where a culture is formed around a group of people, that's a cultural group, that's an ethnos, sort of. I'm stretching the meaning of the word a wee bit, but it basically means a cultural group. Nations will come to your light. Nations, people groups will come to your light. I've never seen it. Well, I have. I have, and I'm seeing it right now. Not necessarily here in England, but it wouldn't surprise me if the whole nation comes because there's stuff happening. But where it is happening is in Mozambique with Iris Ministries. Since Heidi and Roland went to Mozambique, there has been an amazing, amazing move of God in that country. It was one of the top three, no, wouldn't be right, the bottom three poorest nations in the world when they got there. Now, I've recently been chatting to people back in New Zealand. A lot of South Africans have come to New Zealand, probably because of the rugby. We're rugby fanatics there. And I chat to them and talk about Mozambique, and they say, Mozambique's doing all right. Something's happening there. Their economy's changing. It's turning around. You see, when the people of God stand up, as we read it, did we declare? Oh no, there's another declaration we'll do sometime. When the righteous are rejoiced, or something, what's the word? When the righteous. The city rejoices. When the righteous. Prosper. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. That's true. It's true. It's happening in Reading. Tiny place. As Bethel has begun to make declarations, as they've begun consciously and intentionally to bless that city, What's not known is what Bethel does is they take a portion of their offering and they give the money to the council. They give it to the council. And they say, here you are, we want to get over and above what they have to pay for rates. And this is not their rates, this is above this. I don't know if I should be sharing this, but never mind. He tells people in the church, this is what we're doing. So this is what they do. And of course they say, well, what do you want us to do? They say, well, that's not our job. You're the elected leaders of this place. You do what you want with it. Yeah, but you can be, we don't care. We're just wanting to honor you as the leaders of our town. And we want to give to the city. We want the city to be blessed. You do what you think's right. That's what they've done. Continue to do it. And Chris Valentin every now and then gets someone from the council to say, oh, we thought we'd take you around the city and just show you what we've done with your money. I mean, he doesn't care. But he gets to go and see, you know, there's parks gone up. There's all sorts of stuff that they've done with the money because that church has blessed the city in lots of ways. Huge ways. They now run the Civic Center. They actually manage the civic center for the city. The church does. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And 3 years ago, in the midst of the depression that was happening in America, there was the top five or something towns in the whole of the United States. And you have to remember, Reading is only 90,000 people. It's on the I-5 that heads north up through California, right through Oregon, right up to the next state, Washington. You blink if you miss it. If you go through, if you blink while you're driving through and blading through, you'll miss it. It is not a significant town. But they said it was one of the top five cities that is likely to prosper. Amen. Reading, California. And it had a reputation of being one of the worst places to go to. Isn't that amazing? You see, it can happen. It can happen. So think people groups, think your city. It can happen. I am believing it to happen here in this town. I want to call it a city, but I've been told it's not a city because there's no cathedral here. Now, I come from New Zealand, where a city is when you get to a certain size, you then become a city because you're too big to be a town. But anyway, this is England. 50,000. Once you get above 50,000, you become a city. What is it, 130 or 140,000 people here in Slough? That's a city to me. I'm going to call it a city, even if it offends the powers that be. God thinks it's pretty good. Why not? I ask the question, why not? This is what God promises. Why not? Kings to the brightness of your dawn. What are kings? Kings are people in authority. Kings are people in authority. You see, people in authority, people who are leaders, people who are trying to run countries and nations and things, I think for a lot of them, actually struggle for answers. They don't really know what they're doing. You know, they have this going with a passion. I mean, I know this for a fact. Many of them go in with all their, and they finally get to this place, and they suddenly see what's really happening. Because you don't, until you actually step into that place of leadership, that place of authority, for all your bright ideas that you're going to come here and do it, when you actually stand in it, you think, oh, you know, flip, or worse words than that, what in the world? Because it's not till you stand in it that you actually really understand what's going on. When you're back from it and standing on the signs, you can shout and rant and rave and say about what we're all going to do when I get in power. Oh, yes, you vote for me. You vote for Honest John, and I will do beep, 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 beep. And he might want to do beep, 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 beep. But when he gets there, he stands again. Because it's not as you think it is when you stand in those places of authority. And people are looking for a light. People want an answer. And I believe there are people in authority in this city, all over this nation, who are looking for people who will carry something that will help them. Yes. Kings will come to your, kings to the brightness of your dawn. The church, as the church rises, there will be and there are already people in our congregation who already have influence of people in high places. In the city. That's why we've got this place. Yes. Amen. It's happening. This excites me. I think this is awesome. Well, you're excited, Mary. Praise the Lord. That's a couple of Thomas. Are you excited by this?
Yeah.
It pushes my buttons. I think this is amazing. This is amazing stuff. The cool thing is that it's now. This verse is for us now, not tomorrow, not afterwards winter. It's now. It's now, 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 now. I try. I have other scriptures that are more in my heart that I do every day, but I try at least once a week to stand up and declare this verse over my life and over my family. I probably need to do it more often because I know it has power. We can speak the word out in faith and believe it and pray it into being. And it has power. It is God's word for us now. And I'm so excited to hear this confirmations of what Tom said there, and other people during the week just keep popping up the scripture. And I thought, Lord, you are saying this for us now. This is now. It is New Testament. It is now, not future, now. And it's you and I. Is that cool? I think that's amazing. I want to just give a couple of quotes. What's the time? I can probably just be finished. Quarter past what? I am supposed to be finished. Hang on a sec. This is my good friend, Kristen Williams. I'd love Kristen to come here and speak. One day I've said, Kristen, if you're ever in England, please pop by here. He said, I'd love to. I just haven't a chance to come. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful having one day. I call him my Holy Ghost atom bomb. So if you're ready for a Holy Ghost atom bomb, we'll get him in. He says of this scripture, against the backdrop of increasing darkness and turmoil across the nations, listen to this, a glorious, power-filled, Jesus-loving, kingdom-releasing, steadfast, courageous, enduring, praying church will immerse. Because he's prefaced that statement with that scripture. That's right. This is the scripture he's calling, because he knows it's now. These are amazing days to be alive. Here's some good things. Don't fear the future. See, that's what the enemy gets us to do. We get our eyes so locked on the darkness, we start getting afraid. We start getting terrified at what's happening. And the Lord's saying, get your eyes off that stuff and look at me. Who is more powerful? Oh, you are Lord. Yeah, I forgot about that. You just happen to have made this amazing universe. You can do anything at any time you wish. Don't fear the future. Don't be intimidated by the darkness. That's what will happen if we keep looking at it. Can I just say a quick word here? This is getting on. There's a quick word. There are good things that now this is an opinion, so don't say Ian Moody, thus saith the Lord, but this is an opinion. There are prophetic words that come out that are so consumed with the darkness and so consumed with the signs. These are the end days. Oh, the destruction's coming. Oh, yes, repent. Oh, and we look and see what God, see what the devil's doing here. Oh, and look at what's happening over there. And look under that little log there. Oh, we can see all around us. There's darkness, darkness. That's a slight exaggeration. But they have that feel to them. And you look at them and it's doom and gloom for me, who's easily given to timidity. And I don't cope with them. And it just puts fear in my heart, quite honestly. This doesn't. Because it gets my eyes on who's in charge. Stay away from those prophetic things. They end up not telling you anything. They tell us what we already know anyway. Anyway, I've seen some sites that are totally dedicated to this sort of stuff. I don't know what, I mean, never mind. And he says this, don't be intimidated by the dark. The man with the eyes of fire has everything in hand. Look, we have to believe, Jesus is the one, you know, that Revelation picture. That is not a picture of him at the end of the times. You know, the hair like wool and the eyes are burning fire. Have a read of that picture, Revelation chapter 1, where John sees that wonderful picture of the Lord. I've had the briefest glimpse of that. And I was so terrified. If he'd been there any longer, I was absolutely terrified. I thought, Lord, you know, I'm just going to burn up. I mean, I immediately fell to my knees at the glory. It just was so fearful because, you know, he was standing. I'm in this double-story building church, and I don't know how God does this in pictures, but he was actually higher than the roof. And I saw that picture. And it was probably only about two or three seconds. Maybe it was longer than that, but boy, I'm glad that I didn't see it for much longer. I thought, I'm going to be toast if I see that anymore. It's amazing. He is amazing. Read that. He is the man with eyes of fire. That's who he is now. Yeah. That's who he is right now as we are here. That's who Jesus is. He died upon, he was a man, and he's somehow a transformed, glorified man in heaven. And a lamb that was slain, all of that, but he has eyes of fire. And all authority in heaven and on earth and under the earth and wherever else you want to think is his. Because all things have their being through him. He is before all things. He will be after all things. All things were made through him and by him and for him. Yeah. That is who it is that is in us. That is his light that is in us. And he says, you are the light because you're with me. Don't be intimidated by the darkness. Look at him. Now, I'm preaching to myself here. Like I said to you, I'm easily given to timidity. I'm like Timothy, you know, just don't be afraid, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power. This is our day. This is our day. Quick couple of verses. Come back here. Keep your eyes on him. He has everything in hand now, and he is coming. Kristen would say, yes, he's coming in times, but Kristen would also say, and I know this, that he's coming in the power of his spirit. There is fire falling on us for those of us who will receive. Scripture says thick darkness will come upon the... Oh, I've said that. Why do we... Blah, 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 rendering us power... Blah, 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 blah. Philippians 2:15, sorry about that. That you may show yourselves to be... This is Philippians 2. It's amazing when you get something in your mind, how it pops up in the scriptures. That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God. This is the Amplified, Extended, Enlarged version. Without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse. Does crooked and wicked generation sound like darkness to you? Because it then goes on to say, among whom you are seen as bright lights. We are seen as bright lights. Kings and bright, just finish up with kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. The glory of God is upon us. How is the glory seen for you and I? At a very simple level, it is when someone sees you and says, Florence, I can't figure you. There's something about you that I do not understand. There's something on you or in you. I don't know what it is. There's something about you I don't get. They like it. I like it. It's awesome. What is it about you? You look the same, you know, you got a nose, two eyes, and all that, you know, that, but there's something different about you. You heard that? Yeah. That's the glory of God. Yeah. Tangibly seen. That is at its simple level. At its powerful level is when we worship and the presence comes so strong. In the presence here, and this is what we want to go after, that people walk in and join us and they're immediately saved. People walk in and join us and whatever mental illness they have is delivered straight away. They walk in and because the presence and the glory of God is with us so powerfully that whatever sickness is in them is healed. It happens. It's beginning to happen here. God is drawing people to this church. It's just a tiny trickle at the moment. Trickles have a habit of getting stronger if we just sort of let it happen. Amen? Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I need to stop. Who's excited?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we bless you. Jesus, we bless you. Who wants a dose of fire? Put your hand right up. Craig, can I get you to, I don't want to stuff things around. Can we move these off to the side a bit, these wires? Sorry, mate. Thank you so much. Just, I don't want to buckaroo anything. We might have too many. What I'm going to get, what I want to do is, if you want a dose of fire, because that's what God's doing with us, dose of Holy Spirit, fire and anointing, the glory of God come upon you. If you want to come to have that, I want you to, and I want this. I want you in your heart to be saying, Jesus, I'm ready here. Yeah, if you want to start coming up, come up now. So I can see you're something here just itching to just get up here anyway. Tom, can I grab you and Annette to come up here? Well, you can stay online. But what I want you to be saying in your heart is I want you to be saying in your heart, Lord, I am here. We're going to start with Tom and you. All God requires from it, just listening for a moment, all God requires from us is a simple devotion. As I understand it, a simple devotion to Jesus has three parts to it. First of all, it is one thing that he does. He captures us with his love. We say, Lord, show me your love, and he captures us. We're overwhelmed. We're filled with his love. Because of that, the second thing happens, we get a hunger for him. We grow up, this is part of a simple devotion. We're just hungry for the presence of Jesus. We're hungry for the presence of Jesus. As that presence, as that love, and as that power fills us, we then become surrendered to his purpose. I want you to come up here. If you're in that place, if you can't, that's fine. No one's going to judge you. But if you want the fire, I want you to come and say, Lord, I'm here. I surrender everything to you to see the glory of the name of Jesus honored in this land. Amen? So you come on up. Thank you, Lord. Just put your hands out to receive if you want to do that. Jesus, come. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Here I am. Fill me with your light. Fill me with your glory. That I can be a testimony to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of God, come. We say, come. I actually want Tom to come and just lay hands on you. He's doing it already. It's all right. Just receive. God's pouring out fire. Thank you, Lord. Come. More, Lord. More, 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 more. More, Jesus. More, more, more.